Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, the show dedicated to helping pastors and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thanks for listening in today. All this month, Mark Merritt interviewed Dr. Bob Jolly, who's the pastor of First Baptist Church Cumming. They talked about outreach and evangelism in the local church. So listen in and find out how your church can be more effective in outreach and evangelism.
Well, we're joined today by Dr. Bob Jolly, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Cumming, Georgia. Dr. Jolly has been pastor of that church for over 18 years, and we welcome you to our broadcast today.
Marcus, it's good to be here. Thank you for your leadership in our convention work.
Thank you very much. Dr. Jolly, in the past decade alone at First Baptist Cumming, you have seen over 1,100 new members in your church, roughly half of those coming by way of baptism. Can you share with us your general evangelism strategy?
Well, Marcus, God is good, and He has blessed us at First Baptist Church, and I'm just honored to be a part of it. I want to share with you a mistake I made a year ago that has helped me tweak what we're doing and move forward in the direction we're doing this year. For the last 3 years, I've done a community-wide evangelism big event. We called it Forsyth Family Fest.
Okay.
We had Will Graham, Billy's grandson, preach 1 year, and Toby Mack came in and did a lot of music for us. Last 2 years, we had Tony Nolan, evangelist here in Georgia, that came, did a fantastic job. We had good attendance. The third year just happened to coincide with the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Oh, okay.
It gave us an opportunity to get the entire community involved. I brought in high school bands and high school choruses and local politicians, and we had the most spectacular program, including a great fireworks display at the end.
Now, Dr. Jolly, you said a mistake. So far, I don't hear a mistake.
Okay. Here's a mistake.
Okay.
We hit it out of the ballpark when it came to the program itself. It was the best of the 3 years. The evangelism was the worst of the 3 years as far as numbers of people that we directly know came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through our efforts. And when I evaluate that year with the other 2 years, I realized the biggest mistake was we put so much time and energy in the program, and it was good, that we didn't put as much time and energy into prayer, into training for personal evangelism, and to getting our church members of all the churches to bring their lost friends to the fairground. We thought, well, we trained the last 2 years. We don't need to train. Well, yes, train every year in personal evangelism. So we're not doing the big event at the fairground this year. This September, we're calling it Super September. And I knew we needed to do something. I met Sujo John, an evangelist who was working in the World Trade Center Tower on the day it was hit, back in my preparations for last year's Family Fest. And just, he's got a great spirit, and I can't wait for him to come. So we started with him and planned on a Sunday for him to preach to both of our morning worship services. And we get so many more people on a Sunday morning than we would on any night during the week.
Sure,
so we decided we're going to make September an evangelistic emphasis for the entire month. So we backed up a week before then, and we were able to get Kids Blitz, a highly intentional, high-energy program for children and their parents. It's not a drop-off thing. The parents come with their child, and we'll get some evangelism, direct, intentional evangelism in that. The week before that, we wanted to emphasize our youth, and so Mark Cahill is going to come, who wrote the book, The One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, which is sharing Christ.
Right.
And we're even though he's not just a youth preacher, he'll be preaching to our whole congregation. We're really targeting our young people. He's going to come back that evening and teach our folks how to better evangelize their family, friends, colleagues, and neighbors. And then we backed it up to the very first Sunday of September. And I've been preaching through the book of Mark. And in that story where the disciples are not able to heal this individual, and Jesus does, and he said, "Hey, what's up, Jesus?" He said, "This happens only through prayer and fasting." And so we're going to talk about how prayer and fasting directly impacts our evangelism. In fact, as I was talking to you earlier, the entire book of Mark, to me now, through those lens, has the theme, Mission Possible. God's power and our hope, not just in our Christian life, but in our Christian witness as well. So, you know, a mistake last year, I think, has helped us fine-tune what we want to do this year. And the biggest thing is planning and training. We had an Impact Sunday in August, last Sunday night. And we didn't print enough programs, and we were going to feed people for it as well. Didn't have enough food. And as I was going home, I told my wife, Kathy, I said, we ran out of bulletins. We ran out of pizza. I didn't expect that many people to come.
Oh, you have little
faith. Pray. Yes. I said that to myself. I said, I didn't expect them to come and pray for what we're doing in September. And she said, you know what you did tonight, Bob? And I thought, well, yeah, I was on the program. I think I know what I did. And I said, what did I do, honey? And she said, you took the temperature of the church.
Right.
And we're blessed to have a healthy church.
Amen.
So that I think that's the biggest thing you can do for evangelism is have a healthy church. Mm-hmm. Pray and train and be prepared, and then put those events in place that will help you reach people for Christ.
Well, I can certainly see why you are reaching people for Christ, and I think First Baptist Coming serves as an example of what many of our churches could be doing with a little bit more planning. I know all of our people want to see 1,100 people reached or 600 people baptized, but what are we really doing to plan and prepare for God's move in our church and in our community? Dr. Jolly, we're so glad to have you with us this week. We're excited about you being with us all week here on Network. Next week, we're going to be talking about visitation and outreach. And can you come back with us again?
Oh, I'd be honored to, Marcus. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Dr. Mark Merritt interview Dr. Bob Jolly, the pastor at First Baptist Church Cumming, about outreach and evangelism. After the break, stay tuned, and our Evangelism Ministries team will come back and discuss this topic a little more.
Mark your calendar for February 25th and 26th for the 2013 Georgia Evangelism State Conference at First Baptist Church in Douglasville. Speakers include Vance Pittman, Johnny Hunt, Fred Luter, Jeff Fines, Jeff Org, and more. It's a must-attend event for church staff, church leaders, and church members as they experience new evangelism methods and principles to reach their community for Christ. Get more information about the 2013 Georgia State Evangelism Conference at evangelismga.com. That's evangelismga.com.
Welcome back to Network. Dr. Mark Merritt and I are here in studio today. We just got through listening to Bob Jolly talk about how he used an event and how he incorporates that, Mark, into his overall outreach visitation strategy. One of the things that I think we want to really point out here is that events are a great way to gather prospects, aren't they?
Yes, that's right, Joel. And you and I both are very much in favor of going up and down the street and visiting people. But sooner or later, you're going to exhaust the streets around your church. So what we're trying to do is talk about an effective way to gather names of individuals to go visit and do outreach with.
Well, and one of the things we hear from pastors a lot when we're traveling around the state is keeping a prospect file, getting enough names to go into the prospect file, training their members. That's another thing you can do is train your members to turn in those prospects. But really, if you do an event, you're drawing people to you, and you're getting their information. They're giving it voluntarily, whether you're giving away a prize or whatever. And it really can build your tickler file, can it?
Yes, that's true. In my own research, I found the number one reason that outreach fails, whether it's an official structured outreach like Grow, or whether it's just something your church has pulled together on its own. But the number one reason that outreach fails is we run out of contacts.
Wow.
And people just, they're not going to come every Monday night at 6:30 or every Thursday night at 7:30 when there's just the same three contacts to go visit. And frankly, people are going to get tired of going up and down the streets of their subdivision or the streets around the church. So we must keep an active file of people that we can, fresh contacts that we can do follow-up and visitation with.
So let me put in story form what you just said. The absolute death knell to a regular outreach is showing up at the church and us all saying, now, who are we going to visit tonight?
And it's the same three people that we visited the last three weeks in a row.
That's right.
We're tired of us coming to their house by this point.
That's right. Now, we say that tongue-in-cheek, but I have been on church outreach back before I was in the ministry, and we literally showed up, and the person in charge said, well, who do y'all want to go visit?
Ouch.
Well, y'all had been working 10 hours that day. Y'all hadn't had time to find out. I mean, literally, right. I kind of expected to show up, grab a car, and hit the road.
Right.
And the fact is, we stayed there all night long discussing who to visit. And you know who we visited?
Nobody.
No one. So that prospect file, I'm glad you said that. The number one reason outreach fails is lack of prospect, and events can really do that. And so it would be wise, Mark, would it be okay for a church just to do an event in order to gather prospects?
Well, I think, you know, having that evangelistic flavor and that that evangelistic tone to an event, I think that's a biblical motivation. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. It's good for fellowship and good for church promotion and all of that. But the bottom line is we want to meet people that we can then follow up with and have an opportunity somewhere down the road to share the gospel with.
Yeah, so we've talked about this. In mine and your eyes, we would say we've talked about it ad nauseum, but that's not the case. It needs to be said over and over again that when you do any type of event, that is even a Sunday morning special event, let's say Easter, or when you even do a Christmas, whatever it may be, fall festival, you are wasting the event unless you gather those names and have them as prospects.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it. And if you do one, I want to say major or fairly large event per quarter, that will pretty much keep your outreach and visitation busy throughout the entire year, just by doing one event per quarter that draws in people from the outside. Now, God bless Bob Jolly for doing one major event every Sunday in September. You can imagine the follow-up that's going to be involved.
Right.
Now, he's got the staff and he's got the personnel to do that. But many churches, the kind of churches that I've personally been involved with, we probably couldn't pull that off.
Right. But it would be wise, even if you did one a quarter, let's just say all the events do not focus on children. If you focused one on children, one on youth, one on adults, you'll gather different prospects.
Yes.
Whereas if you did them all with an eye towards children, that's fine. But a lot of the same people are going to show back up for those events.
And you're going to be overwhelmed in the follow-up. But you're exactly right.
Sure. And we'll talk about this in the weeks to come. But for an event, your weekly outreach, and just let me say, when we say weekly outreach, that does not have to be every week. It can be. That's great. But more than the frequency, we're talking about the time of the occurrence, the time of the event. It happened during the week is when it takes place.
Yes.
Some churches do it weekly, some every other week, and however you do, that's fine. But the weekly outreach becomes the tool that you use to follow up for the event.
Yes, and that structure doesn't happen automatically. You have to have that planned as part of the event. And you heard Bob say this in the interview. That's the second half. And the second half of the event, the follow-up, is not going to happen if you don't have that structure in place to say, within X number of hours, we have this team that has this assignment to go out and visit these people that have come to our church or come to our event or whatever. And that's where the leadership comes into play.
Sure. Pastor, that would be called a system. You have a system in place that handles the event, gets the prospects, and then processes those cards or whatever, and then plugs them into your weekly outreach. Don't reinvent the wheel every time you have an event. Just make it part of the system. Well, that's great stuff. Thank you for listening into Network today. If you'd like to find some more resources that your church can use in evangelism, be sure and visit our equipping site, evangelismga.com, and there you'll find a host of resources. Until next time, I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in to Network.
You've been listening to Network, a program dedicated to challenging believers to cast the net of the gospel. Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.